Well, let me introduce the message this way, that there are things that absolutely keep us from moving forward as followers of Jesus. And typically we think of big things like lust and greed and adultery or things like that, or being a Raiders fan, or, you know, whatever it is, being an Angels fan, you know. There are things that keep us from moving forward, but usually, oftentimes, it's these kind of subtle shifts in life. It's these kind of small deviations from the path that God has set before us. And every once in a while, God in his graciousness will come alongside of us and wake us up and help us realize, hey, we can't stay here any longer. We have got to move forward. You may wake up one day and you realize that your marriage has kind of slipped into neutral. You're just coasting along. You're more roommates than life partners. And you wake up and you realize, hey, we can't stay here anymore. God is calling us to move forward. You may wake up one day and realize you're just going through the motions and you're not investing in anything in your life that it will outlast your life, anything eternal. And you're just kind of waking up, going to work, coming home, watching Netflix and repeating it throughout life. And you wake up one day and you're like, hey, I can't stay here anymore. God is calling me to move forward. See, every once in a while, God in his graciousness will come alongside of us and just whisper to us, you can't stay here any longer. I'm calling you to move forward. I've got something better for you. And I believe that one major area that every single one of us will experience throughout our life that keeps us from moving forward, whether that's as a spouse, whether that's as a business owner, whether that's as just in your personal development, one thing that will keep us from moving forward is our addiction to comfort, where we are so consumed by this driving force to keep my life free from any pain or any discomfort or anything like that. And I think the reality that we all experience is that we are all blessed and we are cursed with comfort. And when you think about it, we're blessed with comfort. You can push on your app, on an app on your phone, and pizza will show up at your door in 30 minutes. That's comfort. You can push on your app, and somebody will go grocery shopping for you and show up at your house with all of the groceries. You can talk to Alexa and say, Alexa, I want you to order this for me. And with Amazon Prime, it shows up at your door in 2 days. We've got climate control in our house and climate control in our car and climate control in our office. And we can stream Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus and Amazon Prime and watch anything that we want at any time. And all of these things enable us to customize our comfort zones. And we are blessed, but we're also cursed with comfort. And here's the reality, if you're taking notes, write this in, is that the more comfortable our lives become, the further we move away from the calling that God has for us. Let me say that one more time, that the more comfortable our lives become, the further we move away from the calling that God has for us in our lives. The more that our lives are shaped around what will keep me from pain and from discomfort, the further we move from the life that God is calling us to live. Because while comfort is not the opposite of calling, comfort often becomes a detour away from the calling that God has for every single one of us on our lives. Let me illustrate it like this. Comfort is about what? It's about what will make me comfortable, what will make me happy, what will most benefit me, how I feel. In essence, comfort is about who? It's about me. And our calling as followers of Jesus is not about how something benefits me, it's how it impacts other people. See, the more comfortable our lives become, the further we move away from the calling that God has for us in our lives. The problem is that comfort is kind of like a drug. We get a little bit of comfort, and then we want a little bit more comfort and a little bit more, and before long, we as Christians, we're trying to leverage God as the God who gives us what we want. And so we go to a church that has all of the things that meet my needs, and you know, I want a God that makes my headaches go away and my bank account go up, and you know, I don't want to hurt, I don't want to suffer. God, I want you to do whatever it takes to make me comfortable. And our prayer life centers around what will make me comfortable. I'm praying about my job and my car and my health, and everything is centered around me. And so we get addicted to comfort, and because the driving force of our lives is what will make me comfortable, we're not asking a more essential question, is this the life that God is calling me to lead? See, the more comfortable our lives become, the further we move away from the calling that God has for our lives. And so the question that I want to address in our talk this morning is how do we overcome this pull to let our lives be directed by comfort? In other words, how do we move from comfort to calling? How do we move from a place where our lives are centered around what will make me comfortable, instead live our life that's centered around what is God calling me to do? Here's the first point if you're taking notes, is how do we move from comfort to calling? Here it is that you've got to consistently do something that creates a righteous discomfort. That you've got to consistently do something that creates a righteous discomfort. Here's the key word in that, is that we have to do something consistently. Because if there is a lack of consistency, then there's going to be a lack of interest. If you're not consistently exposed to something that breaks your heart, immediately your interest is going to be centered back around yourself. And so let me just talk for a moment about righteous discomfort. What do I mean by that? Well, righteous discomfort means that you've got to do something that gets you out of your comfort zone, but that's inside God's greatest desires. It's something that stretches your comfort zone and increases your faith. It's something where you look at it and you say, you know what? That's not right. You see something or you hear something or you read a story and you say, man, that's not right. That's not part of God's plan. That breaks my heart. And you look at it and you realize it's stretching your comfort zone because you realize it's going to cost you your time, it's going to cost you your money, it's going to cost you your energy. But you know that as a follower of Jesus, you would be doing the exact same thing. See, here's what happens is when you consistently do something that creates a righteous discomfort in your life, the axis of your decision-making will change. That instead of asking, will this make me comfortable, we begin to ask the question, will this make a difference with my life and bring glory to God? See, you do this long enough, and you begin to say, you know what, no, I'm not okay with that. I see this, I experience this, I'm around this, I'm not okay with that because I know that my God cares about that, and I know that my God has put me on this earth to make a difference. And so you say, you know what, not on my watch. I'm not going to allow this to happen. And when you consistently expose yourself to something that creates a righteous discomfort, suddenly you're no longer led by what will make you comfortable, but by your passion to make a difference for the glory of God. And so how do we move from comfort to calling? The first thing is that you've got to consistently do something that will give us a righteous discomfort. Let me give you an example. In the scriptures, the Apostle Paul was somebody that had everything going for him in life. He had all of the creature comforts. He had all of the academics. He had all of the experiences, everything. And this is a man that God so radically transformed that instead of his life being dictated by comfort, he is a person whose life was consumed by his calling. Let me read this to you. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 2. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Like, this is so important for Paul that we understand. He says this three times. He says, I want you to know I'm not exaggerating about this. Like, this is the dead, honest truth. And this is what he says in verse 3. He says, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. In other words, Paul is so consumed by this calling to reach his people that he's saying, I'd be willing to be damned to hell if it would save them. What is that? That is the complete opposite of somebody that doesn't care. This is somebody that is absolutely consumed by his calling to reach these people. He says, you see, I've been around them. These are my people. I've been where they're at. And my greatest desire is that they would experience the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes. See, this is the kind of passion that I believe that God is calling every single one of us to have. That God has placed desires and there's things that break your heart and those things aren't there as an accident. That God has placed them in your heart so that you can make a difference on behalf of other people. And so life is about pleasing God, not about what will make us most comfortable. It's about what's pleasing to God and will make a difference in this world. And you consistently do something that creates a righteous discomfort, moves you out of your comfort zone. And I'm telling you what, God will make such a big difference in and through your life. And so how do we move from comfort to calling? We've got to get out of our comfort zone consistently. And the second one is that we've got to focus on something. You focus on something. You focus on something because, to be honest, there are so many things that you could give your life to, so many things that could be all-consuming for you. And if you focused on everything, you'll end up doing nothing. And so what do we focus on? Two questions. What, number one, what breaks the heart of God? You look around, you see this. This is in your own life. You hear stories about this, whatever it is. And you hear about this, you're like, I know that God is not okay with that. First question, what breaks the heart of God? Number one is, what breaks your heart? You hear this and immediately, man, it just impacts you. You hear about this and it breaks your heart. You hear about this and you start crying. You hear about this and you're like, that is not right. What breaks your heart? Now, there could be so many different things. For some of you, it's going to be things like racial injustice. You hear stories, you experience it yourself, and you say, man, somebody's got to do something about that. It might as well be me. For some of you, it's going to be human trafficking. You hear about women and children that are caught up, sold into the sex slave trade, and you're like, I know God is not okay with that, and I'm not okay with that. Somebody's got to do something. It might as well be me. For some of you, it might be like clean water, drinking water. You hear about how the millions of people that die every year just because of lack of access to clean water. You think, I've got to do something about that. For others of you, it's foster care. You hear about the 33,000 kids that are in LA County that don't have a home. They're misplaced. You're like, somebody's got to do something about that. And maybe for you, adoption. You hear about the crisis globally. You're like, man, somebody's got to do about it. It's not going to be put into legislation, but I can do something about this. For some of you, it's student ministry. Then your heart just leaps thinking about helping teenagers take their next step with Jesus. Others of you, it's growth groups, helping people be discipled in their relationship with Jesus. Or it could be mental illness or freedom from addiction, whether that's pornography or alcohol or drugs. Man, you're just consumed by these things. That's just the beginning. See, there's so many things that we could be passionate about. That's why we've got to understand again and again that there are many things that will capture your attention, but there is only a few things that will capture your heart. And so you focus on those things. And it's no accident that God has placed those things in your heart. It's no accident that there are things that make you angry. There are things that make you indignant. There are things that drive you nuts that you've got to do something about it, because God has given you those values to make a difference in this world and to bring glory to God. And so you've got to focus on something. I'll tell you, though, just from personal example and from walking with people over the years, is that as soon as you begin to focus on something, as soon as you step out of your comfort zone, as soon as you start to make a difference on behalf of other people, man, our spiritual enemy is going to come alongside of you and begin to whisper things to you. Say, who are you? I mean, you know, look at your schedule. You don't have the time to do any of that. Begin to whisper these lies to you. Say, who are you? This is such a huge issue. What difference can you make? This is such a big thing. You don't have the financial means to do any of this. And come alongside of you and whisper these lies and say, man, your life is a mess. Who are you to take care of somebody else? And it'll begin to whisper these lies to discourage you from doing something. But I want to tell you something. I pray that you never forget this. Is that apathy makes excuses, but passion will find a way. Apathy will listen to those lies and say, you know what, who am I? Yeah, you know what, you're right, I can't do anything. It's too big of an issue. Yeah, you're right, I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the resources. Apathy will say, you know what, you're right, I need to focus on me for right now. But passion will always find a way. It will say, maybe I don't have the resources, but I can do something. Yeah, maybe my life isn't perfect, but I'm moving forward by the glory of God and by the power of Jesus Christ, and I will do something about this. See, when you channel your focus off of yourself and onto the passion that God has given you, suddenly, man, you're going to see the Holy Spirit moving in your life and through your life like you never thought possible before. And so you've got to focus on something. And so how do we move from comfort to calling? You got to focus on something. And number three, so I want to encourage you, you got to embrace what hurts. You've got to embrace what hurts. You embrace it. Here's what the Apostle Paul, again, Romans chapter 9, verse 2, he says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Put yourself in those shoes. Those emotions, wear those for a second. I've got great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. And you know what the Apostle Paul didn't do? He says, you know what? I'm just experiencing such turmoil right now with this. I just need to take a breather. I just need to take a step back. I just need to recalibrate a little bit. I just need to maybe remove myself from the situation. You know, I just need to relax for this season. I need to take a little break. Now, he didn't say any of that. He pressed into the very thing that was causing him the most pain. And here's the problem, though, and this is so important, that the lie that so many people believe is that it's easier just not to care. It's easier just not to get involved. You know, it's just too risky for me. You know, if I do something, I could get my feelings hurt. I could get my heart broken. If I do this, it could cost me. It's going to take my time. And, you know, my time is so valuable. And, you know, it's just easier not to care. But I would ask you this question. I would seriously ask you to consider this. Is would you rather hurt with a purpose than exist without a purpose? Would you rather hurt with a purpose and with a divine sense of calling than to exist without one? Because you cannot have purpose without pain. You cannot have purpose without experiencing turmoil. You can't have divine sense of calling without it costing you something. See, I would rather hurt with a divine calling than exist without one. I would rather cry myself to sleep sometimes at night because of God's call on my life than to binge watch myself to sleep, wasting my life doing nothing. I'll tell you this, that if our version of Christianity leads us to a comfortable and safe life, then you are following a false God. That if your version of following Jesus just leads to a greater bank account and more comfortability and more insulation around your life, then you're not following Jesus. If you never give sacrificially anywhere, if you never serve to the point that it's inconvenient, if you never pray to the point that it hurts your heart, if you never get out of your comfort zone, if your heart never breaks on behalf of somebody or something, then you're missing one of the greatest blessings in this life, because so many people think blessings means these are all the things that I can get, but every now and then we need to be blessed with a burden. See, little David was a shepherd boy, and he was blessed with a burden, and it led him to a battlefield to stand toe-to-toe with Goliath and said, "And who are you to come against the armies of the living God?" And he was blessed with a burden, and it caused him to do something. Nehemiah was serving in the king's palace, and he heard the condition of his city, Jerusalem, 800 miles away. And he says, I don't know if I can do everything. I'm just a cupbearer, but I know that I can do something. And he uses his gift of leadership to rally the people and organize the people, and God uses him. He says, I am the solution to the problem that I see. He was blessed with a burden. And Jesus, when he looked over Jerusalem, he says, these people are like sheep without a shepherd. But I am the good shepherd that lays down my life for the sheep. See, I would rather exist and hurt with a purpose than to exist without one. And I want to close out with this prayer for us. And I so pray that this prayer would take root in our lives. It's a Franciscan blessing. This is my prayer for myself and for our church, for us individually. And it says this. It says, may God bless you with discomfort and easy answers and half-truths and superficial relationships so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice and oppression and exploitation of people so that you may work for justice and freedom and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain and rejection and starvation and war, so that you may reach out your hand and to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. And this is my part, and I pray that God would bless every single one of us with a broken heart over the things that break God's heart. That God would bless us with a burden, that God would bless us with something that we see that and we say, I cannot stay silent about that issue. I cannot do nothing about that circumstance. May God bless you with a broken heart so it leads us out of our comfort zone. Because when so many people believe it's easier just not to get involved, you know that it's better to hurt with a passion than to exist without one.